Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is February 20th, 2023. We are reading from the Big Book on page 62, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Mary P. reading the 12 steps, Kathy B. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the text are Reggie O., Lois P., and Eileen M. Our newcomer greeter today will be Lorraine N., and announcements will be given by Betsy H. The share IDs for the last two meetings: Sunday, February 19th, the special edition meeting, 19,977, or 19977. And Monday this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 19,978, or 19978. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose: OA's fifth tradition states, each group has one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Mary P. And would Kathy B. please read the 12 traditions? Good morning, Kathy. press star one, Kathy?
Okay, here I am. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good morning. I'm Kathy B., a recovered compulsive overeater from Oklahoma. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 62, paragraph 2, and I will ask Reggie O. to get us started. Good morning, Reggie.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service and everybody who's here this morning. My name is Reggie O., and I'm gratefully recovered outside San Antonio, Texas. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. Oh my goodness, you know, I can at least right this moment, laugh at myself. Usually when I see what the paragraph I'm going to read is, I think, oh, if only I could have had the one before or the one after, it would have been so much easier. But I always have the perfect one. And this was a tough one for me. There's no question that I've been very, you know, there's no question of my selfishness in my life. Although I don't think I was born that way, you know, and I don't think I was that way as a child. And I just love sharing with everybody, and I was happy, joyous, and free, like we learn to be, you know, when we get recovered as adults. But you know, I was thinking, you know, once, this is just a couple of examples around program. I was in program with a dear friend once who was quite a bit overweight, and I was down to my pretty much goal weight, and we went out to eat and ordered the same dish. And I remember she was quite a bit overweight. I was not. And I looked at her dish and I thought, oh my gosh, can't they see how heavy she is? And they gave her more than they gave me. And then after we ate after we completed our dinner, she said, did you notice they gave you more than they gave me? And I, you know, that's just an example of looking, you know, looking at selfishness. And then for a long time in program, I really was afraid of sponsoring. I had a very challenging time sponsoring, and it was because I thought it was, yeah, well, actually it was because in my own mind and experience that I didn't have enough to give, you know, and so I needed to fill myself up so I could give. So I did hesitate to sponsor for a long time because I didn't think I had anything to give. So, you know, it's like the selfishness with food. It was like I always was looking on someone else's plate, you know, rather than what was on my own. And I wanted to be able to eat what everyone else could eat. The other part of my selfishness was, this grew over time, but I had there was a tragedy in my life when I was in my, I think I was 12. And I was in an emotional blackout around that for some period of time, off and on. And it was like when I woke up from that, I was a different human being, you know, before where I had been not self-conscious at all and ran and played and spoke and did everything freely like, you know, a lot of kids do. I became extremely self-conscious and it was very hard to be, you know, very challenging for me to be seen. You know, I was born with gifts like we all are. So, you know, one of them was being, you know, sort of comfortable in front of groups, and I don't even know if I was just tuned out. I just wasn't nervous, but I was very self-conscious individually or personal relationships or small groups. And when I would go in, it would be, I'd walk into a room and it would be like, oh my gosh, what are they thinking about me? They probably didn't even see me walk in. When, you know, as I've learned in program, it's about when I walk into this room, how can I be of service? How can I give? And there's no, you know, there's no self-consciousness along with that. I first had to, you know, it's been a long journey for me coming from being a normal, natural, unselfconscious kid to being very self-conscious and selfish and this and that, you know, to coming around to recovery again and sort of returning, I think in some ways, back to where I was born as a child and God created me to be. But, you know, it really does take first for me giving up the food, because food was my comfort, and don't mess with my food, you know, and I would eat everything that I could get. I would use it for comfort. I would use it for solace. I would use it to fill myself up thoughtfully, but there was hardly ever a filling point, you know, and then I would just crash. So, and, you know, like I was looking on my friend's plate and saw that she got the bigger portion, and she, being a compulsive overeater, saw that I got the bigger portion. You know, I've learned through working these steps that it is my thinking that is distorted, and that there is no gift and no experience that feels so good as 12th step work, showing up, doing service, thinking about you, thinking about my sponsees, you know, thinking about how I can be of service versus what I can get out of this. And, you know, sometimes I'm self-conscious when I come here often to read and, to read a paragraph. And I have to remind myself, as I did this morning, this is not about you, Reggie. It's about you sharing your experience so that you can be of benefit to other people. And that shift starts with step one, you know, and it goes gradually through all of the steps. I have to believe there's a power greater than me who actually can restore me to sanity, because I'm not sane, I'm told, in the first step, not only around food, but also my thinking, you know, is quite distorted in many ways. And then I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. That's not selfish or self-centered, and it takes a while, you know. It really takes working through these steps for me, anyway it did, to move away from this. And I've done the steps many times over and over and over again. And I've been in program since 1985. And it was just maybe in the 5 years ago when I was going through the steps again. And I realized that, inconsiderate, that we don't always do that in our inventories, but it is in some 12-step inventories. And it's like, how was I inconsiderate? And when I thought of all of the ways that I did not consider other people around my actions and around my thoughts, they were all a form of selfishness. And I used to think that it was my self-consciousness, you know, that was the problem. Thank you, Kathy. But it was my selfishness, you know. And now, learning how to give and being of service, I truly get, is the greatest unselfishness and joy. So I'll pass with that.
Thanks so much, Reggie, for getting us started today. Okay, I am now ready to take names of people who would like to share. Let me just remind you that if you have shared in the last 2 days on this meeting, please allow others to jump in first who have not shared in a while. Okay, who would like to share today?
Bruce E.
Rick.
Bruce
Rick
E.
Jen.
I'm sorry. Jen Z. Wait, who came on after Bruce E? Jen Z. Okay.
Patricia P.
Patricia P. Who
Bonnie
else?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Good morning.
Anyone else? Okay, we will start with those.
Rick J.
I'm sorry, what's your first name? Rick, was it Rick J?
You get Rick J? Sorry.
Rick J. Okay, great. Thank you, Rick.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Rhonda L.
Rhonda L.
Eileen.
Eileen M. Okay, let's stop there. I have Bruce E., Jen Z., Patricia P., Bonnie B., Rick J., Deborah G., Rhonda L., and Eileen M. Okay, please go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, Bruce E., I'm recovered in Southwest Florida, Hurricane Alley down here, Fort Myers, Florida. What better thing to do than on a Monday morning sit around and talk about selfishness, right? Just what I wanted to do. And I want to do this, and that's good. And I want to share. I knew it was the reading would be pretty good. And, like I heard earlier, though, you know, oh, I'd love to read it. You know, I should have shared on the one after this. You know, it's about playing God, because I always play God, but no, or the one before this. But no, I this one's a good one. And I notice here it says that our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. So in other words, I always heard this about, you know, you make your bed, then lay in it. You know, I mean, I did this to myself, right? I was responsible for this food addiction. I mean, I overate long enough to point where I was at, you know. But so I did it to myself, basically of my own making, you know. And so if I took the response, you know, then I need to take, if I did it to myself, I need to take responsibility to get myself out of this, which is going to take some time and some work, right? So, but selfishness, you know, I think if I remember right, well, our preceding fellowship was AA, and then the one that preceded that was Oxford Group. Almost forgot it here, Oxford Group. And I think there are two tenets in the Oxford Group were about selfishness and fear, those two. And I guess that's my two big ones, is selfishness and fear. But I didn't think much of selfishness before the program, because I thought I was, you know, I didn't think I was selfish. And then I get in this program and find out, I'm about the most selfish person, and I'm just totally full of selfishness. And so what's the opposite of selfishness is to try to help somebody, right? So selfishness is helping myself, being obsessed with doing things, getting everything for myself. So then the opposite of that would be doing things for other people. So I've been trying to do something good for somebody every day, and I got it lined up already. I'm going to take my granddaughter out, and she's 3 years old, and I'm going to take her out and have lunch with her and then take a nice walk with her. So that should be fun, and that's something I really like to do. But that is being unselfish, and it helps my daughter-in-law out because she has some work she has to do. So it says here, we must, above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. So in other words, this thing's going to kill me. This selfishness, this extreme selfishness, is going to kill me unless I do something about it. And there often, I think that's probably my time, there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. So I got to have, his is capitalized, I got to have some help from God here to get rid of this. And then it says at the end of it, we had to have God's help. So I can't do this myself. I got to have God's help. I just have to have his aid, his help. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Jen Z, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia from East Los Angeles, California. Thank you, everybody, for your service, being on the line. I just want to share real quick what I thought of when I heard this paragraph was self-obsession, self-will, you know. The world does not revolve around me. And, you know, a lot of times I think that people are thinking about me or paying attention to me or noticing something about me, you know, and in reality, it's like people are living their lives. They're concerned with themselves. You know, human beings are selfish by nature, I think, but with us, it's an extreme. But, you know, people are going where they're going, doing what they're doing, and they're not paying attention to me. You know, the world does not revolve around me. And I get caught up in that sometimes, and I got to remember that. And also the self-will, you know, my sponsor tells me that when I'm in the food, when I'm in the obsession and the compulsiveness, I'm in self-will. And, you know, the only way I can remedy that is to be in a conscious contact with a power greater than myself. So, yeah, and a lot of times, you know, there's a meeting I go to where they say, you know, you can leave, what do you want to leave at the door so you can be fully present for the meeting? And I'm always saying my anxiety and my self-obsession, you know, just leave those and be open to what my higher power has for me for the day. For that hour, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to share that real quick. Thank you so much for letting me share. I hope everybody has a great day.
Thanks so much, Jen Z. Patricia P., please share with us.
Yes, this is Patricia P. from Michigan.
where it says, so our troubles were selfishness and self-centeredness. I didn't realize that for years. I was been in and out of OA for years. I'm 73 years old now, and it just took me quite a while before I found out about the steps and decided that half measures avail me nothing. And so I decided to start working the program, and regular OA media don't tell you very much. I don't hear much recovery in those programs, but a vision for you helped me to see that there's hope for me. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia P. Bonnie B., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service, and Reggie for the beautiful opening, and then to all the other shares. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered in the state of Minnesota today. Gift of God, for sure. So selfishness and self-centeredness, this is all I knew. And I would have told you I was the most selfless person. It's a daily occurrence with me. And it makes me so sad to say that, but it is just at my very core. Didn't sleep well last night again, and I woke up just twisted in a knot. And all I could think about was me. How do I get to sleep at night? What do I do? It was all about me. There was nothing other than me this morning until I immediately did what I get to do, which is put myself out there, do a 10-step, do a fear on it, and then be of service to a lot of other people. It is the great pivot for me. I am so grateful that this program shows me how quick I default to myself and that the only solution I have is to look outside of me. I sat down, I made a list of all the things I was going to do today that were not about me because that is my solution. But left to myself, this is where I go, boy. I go back into that selfishness and that self-centeredness. And it is the root of my troubles because I have a thinking disease. And if I don't get out of my brain, which is filled with nothing but me, I'm headed for a shipwreck. I've lived it out over and over and over. And yeah, most of it for me is driven by 100 forms of fear. I mean, I have fears, and the fears feel sort of real, right? But in reality, either God's everything or he's nothing. He knows exactly what's going on. I've got, I, like another fellow, have a place in Fort Myers, Florida that is no longer, right? And again, selfish. They're doing the build back. They're doing it exactly as they should do it. It's the permanent residents first, followed by the elderly, and then the snowbirds, which means we probably won't get down there this year. And that's, you know what, that's the way it should be. But where does my brain go? It goes to me. Everything always goes to me. And I'm so grateful that for the first time and on a daily basis, I can see that I'm going right back to me again. And if it goes back to me, God is no place in any of it. And so I have the gift of doing the turnaround and the pivot. And this program helps me to do that. And I do that by looking outside of myself. And I can't do it alone. I have to have God. He has to immediately step back into that opening or I won't be able to do it. But I've got a program, and I've got a God, and I've got all of you. And so thank you so much again for your service. Such an amazing paragraph this morning. Blessings to you all. Look forward to the rest of the shares.
Thank you very much, Bonnie B. Rick J., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I'm a compulsive overeater in North Carolina. I'm recovered, but surely not cured. This paragraph is so powerful for me because, you know, I realized that, I had been trying so hard for so many years to live up to my many moral and philosophical convictions, my self-will, my willpower, my ideas. My attempts to navigate my life, but I was trying to navigate my life with these 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity that it talks about, in the previous paragraph. And, and the musts and the exclamation points that are all over these these paragraphs on page 62 that we read Friday and today, you know, it that is the root of my troubles. And, you know, I've heard it's a twofold illness, but it's actually, for me, it's a threefold. You know, I'm mentally and physically ill, and I'm spiritually sick. So were my attempts to try to find some sort of way in my world, my character defects were so warped that it would drive me into these extreme examples of self-will run riot. And I can still get into some self-will and to some self-will run riot a little bit, but the extreme examples, not so much now, you know, and because I'm actually living in the steps and I'm connecting to that power. I'm connecting to the aid and the aid that I have to have. Yeah, the two musts in this paragraph above everything, we alcoholics, we compulsive eaters must get rid of this selfishness. We must where it kills us. There's that exclamation point, you know, and it will kill me. You know, I'll die a spiritual death long before I die a physical death. And I actually would rather be physically dead than spiritually dead, because it's just hell on earth to be trying to live a life in this extreme example of self-will run riot and the damage that I cause myself and that I cause others. And I don't have to live that way today. I'm living in true freedom. I'm living in true freedom. And the steps for me, it's step one is a belief system. I am powerless over my addictions, and my life is unmanageable without a higher power. And I've come to believe and seeing for me the reality that that power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. I'm just so grateful that I don't have to live by that motto. If it's worth doing, it's worth being addicted to, because that's the way I live. If it made me feel good, I was addicted to it. I was addicted to it. And I'm so grateful I can just connect with my higher power, just let go and let the God of my understanding. But I have to do the spiritual actions. I have to have God's help through the spiritual actions that we're learning how to do in this book. Thank you so much. That'll pass.
Thank you, Rick J. Deborah G., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Kathy. So good to hear you again and again, and all your service. And everyone that's made this meeting possible. And, oh, Reggie, thank you for your share and everyone's share and 12-step in me today and waking me up, keeping me awake and open to seeing the truth, you know, because I lived in dishonesty for so long and so wrapped up in selfish self-centeredness. I grew up an only child. I was just ingrained in me. And then when I was caught up in the throes of all my addictions, you know, that's all.
Next meeting, let's go ahead and get up so we can get our breakfast, okay? I was up the same time as you. I didn't go to bed before, so I know how you feel. But let's go ahead and.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I continued to live in that. Oh my God, crazy drama. I am so grateful today because of God's grace that I see that selfish self-centeredness more often today. And so when I see it, come aware, or others will see it. I have beautiful, loving people that will point it out to me. And I'm so grateful for them, because still at times I can't see it. You know, it's just so right there. And but today I have something that I can do about it. You know, I have this program. I have those beautiful 12 steps that I learned, because when I went through those steps, I was able to see the selfish self-centeredness and how it, my thinking and my behavior was and how it manifested. How bizarre it is. You know, it's just wild. And so I'm so grateful today for all of you and being on this call today, so I can have some freedom, and hopefully I'll have some reprieve today, freedom from it, you know. And thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Rhonda L., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda L. I'm a compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Thank you for letting me be on this meeting. I'm just coming back from a really bad relapse, and this is the first time I'm really admitting that to anyone, so this is my time. I just wanted to share because in reading this paragraph, where it says, above everything, we must be rid of selfishness or it kills us. Well, I just really, the last couple of months, I've experienced that exactly in my life and realized that my life is unmanageable. I'm now on a leave from work for 2 months because I really sort of hit a rock bottom in my depression and needed to change my medication. And before I went off on the leave, I complained to everyone at work how exhausted I was and how everything's not going my way. And you know, I was calling in sick quite a bit, and my boss had given me a warning letter, you know, talking about all the times that I called in at the last minute. And it was so selfish and self-centered, like, not to give him any notice, but I would wake up in the morning and say, okay, I just can't do it today. Anyway, so when he gave me a warning letter, it said on it that I needed to see my doctor to get an accommodation as to, you know, why I am calling in sick and what my problem is. So when I went to the doctor, he really saw that, you know, my depression needed to change her medication. Anyway, so I took the time off work. And when I look back on it now, he actually did me a favor because it gave me the opportunity to, you know, really focus on doing the steps. But in the meantime, I was always blaming my boss, the stress from work. I expected everyone to understand, you know, when I was going through withdrawal and it was all about me. I mean, a very close friend of mine lost her mom. And I couldn't show up for her because I was so wrapped up in my own problems. Like, I just couldn't do it. And during that time when my life, you know, was really, really unmanageable, I started to relapse. Like, I tried different foods. I wanted to be like everyone else. And I basically saw that this is the only solution for me. It had to be the 12 steps and God. So it really woke me up to the fact that I'm so selfish and self-centered. And I'm looking at this time off as a real blessing to me that I get the opportunity to change my life and start over again. And it was a big awakening for me. And thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Rhonda L. Eileen M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. What I see from this paragraph is that this was quite an enlightening for me, enlightening, because I was under the delusion that, like, other people were the source of my problems. And, you know, I blamed everyone for everything, even my compulsive overeating. I thought that my, you know, going back to the food was because of other people and what they said and what they did. And the more I focused on them, the more unmanageable my life became, you know. And the big book talks about how, you know, if we focus on what other people are doing and how wrong they are, that's as far as most of us ever got, you know, before we actually did inventory. And I did not see that I had any contribution. You know, I remember first reading this and thinking, I'm not selfish. This is not me. You know, and it was just another way to identify out, you know. But I focused on how other people affected me. And, you know, I didn't realize, you know, that was my real problem. It says that's the root of our troubles, you know, that preoccupation with ourselves. And, you know, when I did my inventories, I saw that in that writing that I was the real problem. You know, it was my thinking about situations and, here's something I would do, you know, is I would make up stories and then I would act according to the stories. So I'd make up stories about what other people were doing and why. And then that's what my actions were based on. And, you know, I ate at people. I mean, you know, it was kind of my way of saying, look, I'm going to show you kind of thing. And I don't know, it was just so enlightening when I did the steps the first time, and I realized, you know, that life is not all about me. It does not, it does not center around me. And that was just so, it was so incredible. It was a real epiphany. So very grateful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen. Okay, we have time for two and maybe three more shares. Who would like to share?
Los Angeles.
I didn't get your name, Los Angeles.
Ingrid.
Ingrid.
Ingrid H.
Ingrid H. Okay, thank you.
Nancy J.
New Jersey.
Who was that from New Jersey?
L M.
Okay. And one more?
Rella from Brooklyn.
Rella from Brooklyn. Okay. Okay. Let's hear from Ingrid. Please go ahead, Ingrid.
Hi, this is Ingrid H. from Los Angeles and gratefully recovered today. Compulsive overeater and bulimic, gratefully recovered. This paragraph for me, I've been reading it this past week, and because I've just been reminded, my higher power has reminded me just how selfish I am. And, you know, with the food being down and really looking at why I'm eating, like how I was just like stuffing and numbing myself with the food and looking at my selfishness and just how self-centered I am and quickly to fall into self-pity and wanting others to follow my script. And I think about my relationship with my husband, and I have just been so freaking selfish, so self-centered. And, I heard someone else talk about like service and self-sacrifice, and that's what I have to focus on today. I can't, this disease is like, was literally killing me. And I heard someone else share about this, the spiritual sickness. And that's what will kill me. And there is no, like, human power. I have no power on my own to be rid of this selfishness. And so every day I have to make a conscious effort to look at how can I be of service? How can I not make this day about me, this moment about me? And so I just try to do it one day at a time. I'm just so grateful for this program. I'm grateful for recovery, as difficult as it is to look at who I am at my core and the truth about who I am. I'm grateful for these steps, and I get to work through this and to try to show up as a better person. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ingrid H. L. M. from New Jersey, please share.
Thanks very much, Kathy. Yes, my name is L. M. from New Jersey, and I so appreciate this meeting, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I can remember, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I can remember years ago, before I was even thinking about this program, I've been in some other programs, and someone said to me, you know, everything in your life is because of decisions that you've made. And I really was baffled by that, because I too felt that, if only everybody would do what I thought they should do, everything would be great. And in the last several years, I've really come to understand my selfishness in studying the big book. And I've also come to understand that it is, you know, I don't really need to beat myself up for it. It is kind of human nature that we were made this way. And this is just my own theory, is that we're made this way because my higher power wants me to depend on him and not depend on my own mind. And I certainly tried to reduce my self-centeredness, you know, on my own. And I can't do it. It's not up to me. It's up to my higher power. And that's why it's so important for me. I only get a daily reprieve in this program. That's all we get. I have to connect to my higher power on a daily basis. It starts over in the morning. I wake up a selfish human being, and I have to connect with my higher power. I love the idea of making a list of the things that I can do in this day to be of service to others. And it, when I started thinking about being of service, it was a whole different way of me looking at things. I think I felt, you know, the world owed me a great deal. But that selfishness, that's where my unmanageability comes from. And my higher power is the one on a daily basis that can bring me back to a place of manageability and freedom. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, L.M. from New Jersey. And Bella, you have 2 minutes. Thank you. Please share. Rella, I'm sorry.
Rella. Hi, Rella from Brooklyn.
Yep, go ahead, Rella. Two minutes.
I keep pressing star six, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate this topic. I think of myself as a very nurturing person, a very giving person, in many ways a selfless person. Some of it are my traits from my ACLA past, you know, having to care for people. Some of it is codependence. It's tricky for me and new for me to look at some of my behaviors that even while I'm doing for others, there's a selfish motivation to it. So this program is helping me be more truthful. And also appreciating more and more that the way to get out of my self-pity and poor me and victimhood is by doing acts of service to others. I've been on the receiving end of so many wonderful people who listen, take my 10th step, and it never occurred to me that I could put myself out and be of service and say I'm available to take outreach calls. And I just started doing it recently, but it's been years. And it just shows how sometimes the time has to be right, but I'm glad that I'm being more aware of how I can be of service instead of focusing in on myself. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rella from Brooklyn. Okay, it is now time for us to close this wonderful meeting. A special thank you to Mary P., Kathy B., Reggie O., Lois P., Eileen M., and Lorraine N. and Betsy H., who will speak after we close with the Serenity Prayer. We will now have Lois P. read A Vision for You on page 164. Thank you, Lois.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.